Welcome to another broadcast from Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. If you'd like more information or sermons, visit www.brotherjimshaw.org. Please stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for more contact information. And now, here's Brother Jim Shaw.
Boy, the Lord can put some fear in you. If you read the fifth chapter of James, if all you want to do is be rich, I'm talking about a fat wallet. I'm talking about owning a lot. And as far as I'm concerned, I own some things. I own a lot more than I used to own. Now that my family's all grown and I'm not hand to mouth every week like I used to be, practically every minute. And I listen to these verses. They kind of put a little fear in me. And that's good. Because that's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. But let me read this. Go you now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. What an opening line. Go now, you rich men. And what is a rich man? Because everybody wants one more dollar. You know, to me, a rich man is a guy that thinks he's fat and happy, thinks he's arrived. You know, he's got all his storage in the barn. He's good. He's good. He doesn't need anything. He's rich. Rich and increased in goods. And this could actually even go for religion. I'm great. Hey, I got it all. I go on Wednesdays. I go on Sundays. I listen to all my sermons, and I'm in. Well, let's keep going. In the words that the Lord uses here through James, go to now, you rich man, weep and howl. Howl. That's even worse than weeping. Weeping is like intense crying. You know, howling, I think of like a wolf in the woods for your miseries. What a strong word. Miseries are going to come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. You know, I wonder if James is giving a snapshot that this guy's in hell looking at everything he owned, saying, my goodness, all this controlled me. All this materialism controlled me. And look at it. All those beautiful clothes I wore, the moths are eating them. All that stuff that I had, it's all rotting away. Here we go. Your gold and silver. Gold and silver. Boy, you're hearing a lot about that these days. Oh, don't trust regular money. Gold and silver. Your gold and silver is cankered. Cankered. Interesting word. Corroded. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Almost sounds like hell, doesn't it? The flesh nature thrown into hell. And you get to see your gold and silver cankered and corroded. And he actually tells us here it's going to be a witness against us. A witness against us. Man. Boy. You know, I own a little bit of gold and silver. Trust me, I'm not King Midas, but as I'm reading this, you know, wow. I'll read that again. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, you kept back by fraud. In other words, if you know, many people, even in the world system, you're making money because of other people's sweat. Now, that's great that you're giving other people's jobs. That's good, of course. You worked hard. You started a business. You got to give people work. But look at your workers through God's eyes. If you're given a chance to give them a decent wage, give it to them. Don't try to jip them. I'll read that again. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, in other words, work for you, which is you have kept back by fraud, cries and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the year in, into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Right, so let's just say you wake up and you're in hell, and you're able to see all the things. And I believe this is part of the torment. I believe part of the torment must be regrets. That you see your clothes, they're all moth-eaten. You see all that gold and silver that you wanted. It's all corroded and destroyed. You see the laborers whose hands are all red and calloused up and whose feet are hurting them. And you held back their wages. And all this is a witness against you. And the cries of the laborers have gone to the throne of God. And it says here, and you have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been fattened. The word here is wanton, but that means fattened. You have nourished your hearts as in the days of slaughter. Just indulgence of things in this world. Even physical indulgence. Do a self-examination, gang. Just do a self-examination. You know, a term you don't hear much anymore is self-denial. Self-denial. And to put it into work, self-denial into work might be this thing called sharing. Yes. Giving. Yes. Caring. Helping. This is a little frightening what we're reading here, gang. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Basically, he submitted to you. So in other words, we're finding out here there's a little corruption going on with how this guy got his money also. Because it says you have condemned and killed the just. Just means the righteous. So now we get a little bit more of information of this rich man. Doesn't seem like a righteous man. 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Right now, James switches gears and he's talking to brethren. In other words, he's telling them to be, the first word he uses, be patient. Things might not be good for you, person. You know, they might be saying, man, this life is tough. This life is rough. This boss I have, this is a nightmare. But the thing is, he's saying, hold fast to God. He's your husband, man. He's taking care of you. It also says here, be ye also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Gang, I mean, years seem like forever at times. I remember when I was in grade school, I would look at the clock. 5 minutes seemed forever. But the fact of the matter is, now that I'm older, this is just a vapor. The clock's ticking down. And I just learned to live it one day at a time. The Lord is drawing nigh. And he's always drawing nigh. Because he could come at any minute to take you. He could take you as a baby. He could take you at 96. Either way, he's drawing nigh. Every second that ticks off is a second that we're closer to him. James goes on to say here, grudge not, grudge not. And that word means to grumble. Grumble not against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands at the door. You know, and the door, many a times, could be your heart. Yes. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. All the prophets. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Try to warn everybody. What's going on? Isaiah tried to warn the Jewish people what's going on. Moses warning the people. Abraham, everybody in the book. It's an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. If you are walking in the Lord, you will at some time have suffering, affliction, and patience. And you're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to hold fast. You're going to have to endure. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord. Verse 11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Isn't that beautiful? "We count them happy which endure." Boy, that's beautiful. "You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful." In other words, he has pity on us, "and of tender mercy." I'll say, what was the end of the Lord? The end of the Lord was on a cross, dying on the cross for us. If that isn't a sign of having pity for us and having tender mercy, what is? Taking our place. That's why no matter what anybody does to us, gang, let the words go in one ear and out the other. Don't sweat it. Let all the crap go off your back. Don't take it in. Put up the shield of faith. Whoever they are trying to get under your skin, it's not worth it. "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation," which means judgment. This is interesting. He goes on to say, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay." I believe that means don't be double-minded. Stay strong and mean what you say. You don't have to take any oaths. You don't have to do any of that. You know what's going on. What are these oaths for? Usually they're for other men. Let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. You believe in Christ, cut and dried. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any among you merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." What a chapter. What a chapter. Starts out by warning the rich men. Yes. Tells us to be patient. Gives us the example. He says, take my brethren, the prophets. Warns us about the prophets with suffering, affliction, and patience. And now here he's telling us, if you're going through trials, call for the elders. In other words, call for brothers in Christ. Start praying. Any prayer of faith shall save the sick. Just believe it. Keep believing it. And we know in 11 that even if you're saved, it doesn't mean you might even recover. Hebrews 11, some still died, some were saved. It doesn't matter what you physically see. What matters is Jesus. Living by faith and not by sight, gang. Gotta run. God bless you all.
You've been listening to Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. If you would like more information or sermons, we can be reached at www.brotherjimshaw.org. That's www.brotherjimshaw.org.
Or write to P.O. Box 690492, Vero Beach, Florida.
You can also call 717-451-9767. Again, 717-451-9767. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again next time for another broadcast from Brother Jim Shaw Ministries.
To view more messages on Brother Jim's YouTube page, please visit www.brotherjimshaw.org.